The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the balmy heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I am Sharon Gilbert. Welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. Today is Saturday, what's the day?
Today is the 17th.
Oh, honey, thank you. 1/17/15, and it is balmy outside. In fact,
yes.
I'm, going to go outside and get a suntan.
Well, it would be the day to do it here.
You know, it's over 40 degrees. It's sunny out there.
Yeah.
If I were still in Bloomington, I guarantee you they would be out front of the various dorms and fraternities, and they would be throwing football and wearing shorts.
Well, it. But now that we're, old and feeble, we just stay inside.
Yeah, we're heads in jars
that's
now.
Right.
Well, that, kid, yeah.
That day is coming, yes. Heads floating in solution. Well, thank you for joining us live at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio. The chat room is open, and we hope you'll log in there and contribute. Thank you for the feedback. It's nice to know that the audio is actually making its way to the interwebs. So thank you, Mary, for that feedback there. And a lot of stuff to discuss, as always. We never quite know what it's going to be until
we get
into it.
I'm always amazed that they actually want to hear us when they're in the chat.
Well, I agree.
I don't know. But we can hear you. Can you turn it down?
Exactly. We're trying to have a conversation over here.
Not so loud, people.
No, grab your cup of coffee and pull up a chair, and we'll take the next 60 minutes or thereabouts to just kind of blather about the things of the week.
Well, blather away.
Yeah.
I want to mention that in 10 years, possibly, we could be hosting this on an internet service provider that is the only one in the whole wide world.
Oh, single
if
payer.
Elon Musk has his way.
Hmm.
He wants to open what he's calling a super fast satellite system, high speed internet for the whole planet. And he envisions this as being ready in 10 years. Now, Elon Musk is the CEO of Tesla Motors and
right.
SpaceX.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got some money and he's got some friends.
Yeah.
And he may just have a way to do it.
Well, it's interesting that he's promoting this idea because, as you have speculated and as Gans Shimura has mm-hmm. speculated, this global web tying us all together
yes.
could be the brain, the mm-hmm. neural network, if you will, that connects together what eventually wakes up, becomes a sentient AI, and is the image of the beast or fabricates
exactly.
the image of the beast.
And it's what I talked about back in Florida mm-hmm. called crowdsourcing the beast or crowdsourcing the Antichrist. And essentially all of us become members of that Antichrist body. Right now we are members of Christ's body.
Yes.
And those who do not have Christ as their Savior will be joined up together to be members of a false body,
mm-hmm.
of the false Christ.
And it's interesting that Elon Musk is pushing this idea, proposing this idea, because he's the one who recently said that, if I'm not mistaken, I might have to go back and double check this, but I'm pretty sure he was the one who issued what is a memorable quote and maybe prophetic that artificial intelligence research is, in effect, summoning the demon.
Yes, he is the one who said that. Am I getting kind of a weird background noise when I talk?
No, that's just the limiter. It's basically pushing down the background noise when we stop talking.
Can you change it so I sound more like a robot?
That's on the other mixer.
Rats.
All those effects on the other mixer.
Rats. That would have been great.
Yeah.
But Elon Musk is on record as saying that very thing. And I believe that he's prophetic in that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out if you read Bible prophecy.
Hmm. Yeah, it is something that has been speculated about for a long time. In fact, we talked a few weeks ago about how E.W. Bullinger, who was a Bible commentator in the late 19th and early 20th century, and not everybody likes Bullinger because he promoted the the gospel and the stars idea.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
There are various opinions of that. Not everybody believes
there
that it's really
yeah.
valid. But anyway, Bullinger wrote a commentary on the book of Revelation in which he speculated that the new research being done by this hot new scientist, Nikola Tesla,
mm-hmm.
who promised to be able to build an artificial brain in the near future, was going to result in the image of the creation of the image of the beast. So
you
this
see me
is really
looking at. Sorry, I think you're absolutely right. And the reason I'm looking at this microphone is to. You told me one time that there's a sweet spot on it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to matter.
Well, because that compression turned up. That's why.
Oh, okay.
No,
the reason for that is because the little. We've got these little wind screens on our yeah. microphones because it's so windy in here.
Pop birds.
It's because we are ourselves windy. It doesn't seem to keep it out, though, does it? You know, no matter what we do, that
yes.
gets through the screen. But there's a little, it actually looks like an eye
mm-hmm.
on this windscreen that I had in the past over what I assumed was the sweet spot, but everything is sort of moved out of place now, so I'm not sure I'm even talking in the sweet spot.
You should be talking right towards the Audio-Technica logo in the front.
I was going to say it's on there twice.
What? Oh, well, yeah, that's the front, Audio-Technica right there.
Okay. All right.
So talk towards that, and that should be...
See, I'm just a head in a jar. What do I know? You know what? It's sort of like being James Taylor. If you don't have the mic in the right
yes.
spot, you look foolish.
Yeah. Did you see that on the video this past week? Did you watch it?
You told me about it. I did. I find it too cringing even to think about it.
It
because
really was.
He should have spoken up. As the artist, he should have said, I need two microphones,
yes.
one for my guitar and one for me.
And what we're discussing, of course, is the government of the United States' really lame response and attempt at apologizing to the nation of France, because we didn't send anybody of any rank, really, to the massive rally that took place last weekend in France in the aftermath of the attacks on the Charlie Hebdo office and then elsewhere in Paris, the kosher
the deli.
Grocery store, the mm-hmm. deli. And then there was a female police officer who was shot, and then another hostage situation.
There was a post office the next day.
Yeah, 17 people all, not including the three gunmen. And the common-law wife of one of the gunmen actually made it out of the country. Last I read, she was, depending on who you believed, either in Turkey or in Syria. But the bottom line is world leaders from all over came and marched arm-in-arm. Benjamin Netanyahu was there. Mahmoud Abbas was there. Angela Merkel was there. Of course, François Hollande, the mm-hmm. President of France. But many other nations sent their head of state. The United States did not. President Obama was somewhere else, and John Kerry was somewhere else. I don't know who the United States sent, but it was nobody of that level. So John Kerry went to France and apologized, and as a way of apologizing, brought along a friend.
Mesdames et messieurs, James Taylor.
I was leaning over trying to get to the microphone.
And you need some love and care.
And when you're leaning like that and contorting your body, it's difficult to sing.
Nothing is going right.
Like this microphone that's pointed at my guitar.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall. All you got to do is call. And I will be there. Yes, I'll be there. You got a friend, ton ami est là.
Yes, so that is the message for the government of France. When you need help next time, we'll send James Taylor. And no doubt this really impressed the jihadis who committed this act. And
now known as James One Mike Taylor.
Yeah, it really was sad because the microphone was there for his guitar, but he was trying to sing as well.
Yes.
And so he literally was hunched over. Even after adjusting the microphone upwards somewhat, he
yes.
was hunched over for the whole. This was really cringeworthy.
Well, there are a lot of ways that they could have made that really work well for him, but
yeah.
as the artist, he has to speak up.
Yeah.
And it could be he did, and they just ignored him. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, if we don't even send someone other than the French ambassador, mm-hmm. who was already in country.
Already in country.
If we don't send someone over there when every other, you know, like 40, 50 world leaders were there,
mm-hmm.
no one from here.
Yeah.
Supposedly the United States leader of the free world.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... Well, it was sad.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. Speaking of jihad, by the way, ISIS apparently has doubled its holdings inside of Syria and Iraq. The territory that it controls has more than doubled in recent months in spite of something like 80 different airstrikes by the United States.
You know, with that in mind, I want to encourage our listeners to just go online and do a search for Project Gladio, G-L-A-D-I-O. It refers to the gladius, which was the sword, short sword, used by the Roman soldiers and the gladiators. Project Gladio was the Italian version of the stay-at-home. Soldiers who were trained. These were essentially militias who were trained after World War II was over to fight the Cold War if Russia were to have invaded the Great Britain or France or you know, the way Hitler had.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the terror feared, the terrorist agenda, essentially. We're going to have experts in place who have munitions and training in not only how to use these weapons, but also how to spy, how to, you know, it, essentially it's, what do they call it, a fifth column?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what was being trained post-World War II by NATO.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the CIA had reps over there showing NATO how to do it.
Yeah.
So we've been at this worldwide for a long, long time. And many of those stay-at-home soldiers, Project Gladio soldiers, just sort of went off the ranch.
Yeah, sort of like the Taliban in Afghanistan.
Or were encouraged to do this because we need to keep people afraid so we can take away their liberties.
Yeah.
Because only by taking away your liberties can we protect your freedoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, just to clarify something, I misspoke. I was off by a digit. 800 airstrikes inside Syria by coalition forces in recent months. And still with that, ISIS has doubled territory.
Well, but in Syria, they've doubled their territory. But we are now sending over 1,000 soldiers within the next couple of months. I think 400 are going in the next few weeks to train yet more ISIS soldiers. We're training yet another group of soldiers to make war, to be rebels against ISIS. And you can bet that they will be co-opted.
At some point, sure.
Yes.
Once they quit fighting each other, then they'll turn their guns on us. And this has been a pattern we've seen repeated over and over. I mentioned the Taliban earlier. That's the classic example.
Yes.
We trained the Taliban in Pakistan with the assistance of the Pakistani ISI, which is their intelligence agency. They went into Afghanistan, eventually ran the Russians out. And then when they were done with the Russians and we stuck our nose back in there because we wanted that pipeline, they started shooting us with stuff that we had given them. And that's happening in Iraq. There was a story last week about how Iran-backed militia units inside Iraq, Shia militia units, are now the proud owners of military hardware that we left behind when we withdrew our troops. You know, it costs a lot of money to ship an M1 A1 Abrams tank. And that's why you find Facebook photos now of soldiers in these Iraqi militia units backed by Iran, proudly displaying their M1 A1 Abrams tank with a Hezbollah flag on the side.
Or in an old pickup that they'd picked up secondhand, it still got the logo of the small business owner here in the United States who traded it in. Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
A guy, I can't remember what his business was, but he saw a picture from the ISIS rebels, and they were in his pickup with his logo, his business's logo, still on it.
Oh, my gosh. that would really cause you to blow a gasket.
Well, it did. And, in fact, he started getting hate mail.
No kidding.
He's lost business over it.
Sure. I mean...
So be careful. The moral of that story, folks, is when you trade in your logo-branded vehicle, make sure that they do a paint job or something.
So that must mean that there are guys attending these auto auctions where they buy up blocks of vehicles, lots of used cars, and shipping them over to the Middle East.
You've got it, sir.
Wow.
You have got it.
You know, and there were stories coming out as early as last June about weaponry that the United States was trying to supply to the Syrian rebels who were fighting against Bashar al-Assad's forces, the government in Syria, and those weapons have been intercepted by ISIS. So now there's some rumors in Washington, D.C. that I saw on a couple of political blogs over the past week about the possibility of sending American troops to Iraq, not to advise, but to fight. In other words, going back in with guns a-blazing, but they might be facing return fire from weapons that the American taxpayers bought and paid for. And it might be coming from both sides, from ISIS, the Sunni group on the one side, and the Shia rebels on the other side.
Well, in the meantime, Saudi Arabia has decided to build a big wall.
Hmm.
Did you see that story?
No, I didn't.
Let me see if I can find the exact story. Vamp while I find this.
Yeah, it's a mess over there. Not that
no,
kind of vamp. We're not going there.
Wrong vamp.
It is truly depressing, and I agree with the comments that are popping up in the chat room now. It is depressing because we Americans, I'm in my early 50s, and I'm still old enough that I was raised believing in baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and the red, white, and blue, truth, justice in the American way. And now we find out that we've been playing these sorts of games in other parts of the world where if the shoe were on the other foot and foreign governments were engaging. Well, we remember how upset we were as a people when we found out that the Chinese government was sending money to the Democratic National Party.
Yes.
Bill Clinton get elected. It's like, how can they do that? Well, we're doing that overseas all the time. Who do you think financed the Orange Revolution in Ukraine and the Rose Revolution in Georgia? And I forget what the color was. We tried to do the same thing in Belarus, but Belarus clamped down on it. And this is why Russia, Vladimir Putin, has kicked NGOs, foreign NGOs, out of the country. Because that's what we do through these NGOs. And, you know, we conservatives are all upset about George Soros is interfering in this, that, and the other. And by the way, George Soros, see the story this past week about how much money he committed to finance the...
Something like $33 million?
How coincidental. $33 million to finance the grassroots protests in Ferguson, Missouri. George, message from people who used to live very close to Ferguson, Missouri. Spend your $33 million to crap in your own backyard.
Hey, well said, honey.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? The story that I wanted is Saudi Arabia's been constructing a 600-mile east-west barrier wall on its northern border with Iraq since September. This is supposed to keep out the ISIS militants. I'm trying to picture it too, and whatever they've written here at the Christian Science Monitor doesn't seem to be making any sense. But the main function of the barrier will be keeping out ISIS militants, who have stated that among their goals is an eventual takeover of the Muslim holy cities of Mecca and Medina, both of which lie deep inside Saudi territory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, the idea of the wall goes back a long way. The Chinese did it to keep out the Huns and other Mongols and other invaders. The Emperor Hadrian put a wall up in the north end of Britain, as did, what was the other wall? There's an Antonine Wall up there, too, isn't there? Hadrian's Wall is the one that was the more effective of the two.
Hadrian's the only one I remember.
Yeah, the one to keep out the Picts, the guys who painted themselves
blue. Then there was the one to keep out the Ferguson clan, and that's why we came over here.
Exactly. But as I look at a map here, I see that Saudi Arabia has an awful lot of shoreline along the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf. And
I know. I'm thinking somebody can get in there. Well, it's being dubbed the Great Wall of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well.
And it is going to have 40 watchtowers.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big wall.
Yeah. Well, again, I just say that 2,000 years ago, the Picts and the Irish and the Scots figured out how to get around Hadrian's Wall by getting in boats. So I think we're going to see similar issues in Saudi Arabia. It's going to work about as well as our wall along the border of Mexico.
What wall?
They told us there was a wall.
They spent money on the wall.
We spent billions
of
dollars.
They gave Boeing a bunch of money for the wall. You know, you are got to go way back. Oh, you were talking about a little while ago something about the ISI from Pakistan.
Yes.
At the time that you were saying that, maybe you'll be able to remember this because there's a story tickling in the back of my little brain in this jar that is about a guy on a motorcycle who was killed and the claim or arrested. And the claim was that he had killed two ISI agents or something like that. Was it an American?
Oh, yeah,
remember that story?
Vaguely. I would have to do some digging on that.
It had to do with something that he had been... oh gosh, was he investigating? You know, sorry, I'm just, if anybody out there can remember it, you might want to bring something up in the chat room, but I remember it's been about 5 years ago that you and I talked about this on PID radio, mm-hmm. and it was a big thing at the time. And it occurred at about the same time that, the gal who was, the one who was running for president, and was assassinated. It came at about that same time. There was a lot of turbulence taking place in Pakistan. And honestly, Pakistan is one of the last places I would want to live. Now, some may say the last place they'd want to live would be here in the United States. But Pakistan has a lot of friction mm-hmm. going on. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a nuclear state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something else we need to bear in mind, that makes everything that they do a little more complicated, them and India. That's going to take more digging into that story is going to take more digging to research and pull that one back out of the files.
Yeah, you keep talking and I'll see what I can find.
Okay, well, go back to my list of things here that there's kind of a
sad you can say why. Are you going to save that for last, the best for last, the reason why we titled the show?
Yeah, that'll be the kicker for today, because we'll need some way to end on a on a positive note.
I thought we were going to sing Happy Trails to You.
That's been done. we could do that a little earlier, because I've got some stuff to tie in and make it a little more relevant, but I don't want to, you know, leave the basic showbiz. You try to leave them wanting more. So, see, the Duke University, which had just a couple of weeks ago announced that they were going to broadcast the daily call to prayer, the Muslim call to prayer, from one of its towers, they have reversed that decision after coming under some heavy criticism from Franklin Graham and many other conservative Christians.
I found it.
Oh, good. You are good. So anyway, Duke has reversed that decision, so that is not going to happen now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. And it shows you the kind of power that a Christian organization can have if they speak up. And this was in North Carolina?
Duke is in North Carolina,
yeah,
yes.
Well, that's why the Billy Graham organization, Franklin Graham speaking up, because he probably accounts for a large part of their revenue.
You would think.
He's a huge industry there in mm-hmm. North Carolina. The Raymond Allen Davis incident.
Mm, okay.
He worked for a private security firm.
Right.
Contracted with the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
On January 27th of 2011, he reportedly killed two armed men in Lahore, Pakistan. The U.S. government contended he was protected by diplomatic immunity, but he was still jailed and criminally charged with a double murder and the illegal possession of a firearm. I'm trying to figure out why you and I talked about this on PID radio. But
it was, as you said, though, it was about the time of the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, I think.
Yes.
Again, this was early 2000, so just about 4 years ago.
What it said, he was a contractor for the CIA and a private security firm. Did he work for Blackwater? Is that why we talked about it?
There was some speculation. When you see that code word, private yeah. contractor, you can kind of assume that he is essentially a mercenary. Contractor with the Central Intelligence Agency. Killed two reportedly armed men, and then a car that was coming to his aid killed a third Pakistani man in a hit and run while speeding on the wrong side of the road. Families of the two killed men were paid $2.4 million in a form of monetary compensation or blood money, as it were. Judges then acquitted Davis on all charges, and he immediately departed Pakistan.
Yes.
That was, again, that's kind of a thing that would really sour relations between two nations. If a representative of, well, let's use Russia again, a Russian diplomatic attaché killed a couple of American police officers or, reportedly armed men. I think the story was, though, that the belief was that they were security services in Pakistan.
I read the story that they very were clearly, ISI guys.
Okay.
That they had been after him because they figured out what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It had something to do with U.S. drone attacks and intel he was gathering on the ground, I think.
Mm.
What was it you just said
and
about?
And Benazir Bhutto, by the way, was killed at the end of 2007. So really, there's no connection between that event and the Raymond Davis crash.
Except in my mind. And isn't that the only thing
that
matters? Require?
That's sure. Yeah.
Exactly. Being a head in a jar, all that matters. No, speaking of Vladimir Putin, did you read the story about the implied threat to Europe from Gazprom? Which essentially is run by Putin.
They do that most every winter, though, so
they
I didn't pay that much attention.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. Every winter they say that, and then every winter they say to Georgia and Ukraine, if you want to let us continue to go through your state, you're going to have to pay your bill. But now they're saying that it's going to go through Turkey.
Taking a southern route on the...
Gazprom to use Turkish pipeline route to EU. Now, this is going to take a few years to actually set up all of the little stations and how to transport it from that location where it ends in the pipeline to the end users in Europe. But I'm thinking that he's saying this. He essentially is saying that because you did not comply with his vision of Eastern Europe, then he's going to rethink his vision of how he sells gas to you. So you've got a couple of years to change your ways, Europe.
We've seen Putin use weapon or energy as a weapon numerous times in the past, 12 years. Has it been 12? How long has Putin been in power? Has it been that long? I mean, I knew that he stepped down from the presidency as
a... he was a little bitty baby, president when I was a kid. You know, he's been around for decades. No, he's been around for a long time. And he switched, actually, because you could only serve so long over there. So he became the prime minister. And is he the president or prime minister? He's president now.
Yes.
But when he was prime minister, they sort of switched things around so that the PM had more power than the president.
Right. Medvedev was out there at all the official functions, but Putin really called the shots. There are some interesting developments over there. Russia is having a rough go of it. The Saudis, with the pressure that they're putting on oil prices by just basically flooding the market, has put the screws to Iran and Russia in particular. Venezuela is also having a really tough time because those three nations all need a much higher price for a barrel of oil in order to make budget. The Saudis are really losing money at the current price, which on Friday closed below $50 a barrel. I think it's down near the $45, $46 a barrel range. But they've got a lot more cash in reserve than either Iran, Venezuela, or Russia. The ruble is taking a pounding. By the way, the other benefit to Saudi Arabia is that they're also putting the hurt on the North American shale industry. A lot of oil and gas coming out of North Dakota, in Alberta, up around Fort McMurray, and in Illinois. There were people in Illinois who were expecting 2015 to be the year that the oil boom really kicked off here, and it ain't happening.
No, it is not.
I'm told below $60, they just can't. It doesn't pay to build a new oil rig and start drilling. Rigs that are already operating will keep pumping, but they're not going to drill anything new, and that means fewer jobs. Halliburton down in Houston has already laid off a couple thousand people, so there will be layoffs that take place as a result of this. But Russia is looks like it is, in addition to the threats it's issuing regarding oil and gas, are ready to absorb South Ossetia, that breakaway.
Oh, really?
Of Georgia.
Back to that.
Yeah. And that is going to happen possibly as early as this week.
Does that also border on the Black Sea?
South Ossetia?
Yeah.
I'd have to look at a map. I am not sure. It may. Well, not on the Black Sea. Maybe the Caspian?
Yeah.
There's a document that he's supposed to sign this week that will hand foreign policy, border control, and security of South Ossetia over to Moscow. So, effectively, this is an annexation.
Well, that's now, what we're saying over here. But depending on, what the Russian population of South Ossetia is, they may just see it as repatriation.
Exactly, as do the people in the Crimea. So, the Russian bear still flexing its muscle, and it's not... George has been making noise for some time about wanting to be a member of NATO, and this raises some interesting questions for Europe and the United States as member states of NATO, who have signed a mutually binding defense agreement. War on one is war on all. And so if Georgia were to try to pick a fight with Russia, as it did a few years ago, and I know conservative TV commentators portray the war that took place between Abkhazia and South Ossetia, you know, Georgia and Russia, as the result of Russian aggression. But it was actually Georgia that initiated it. And it's almost like, you know, the little guy going up and hitting the bully, you know, the big guy, and hoping that the big brother is right behind him to, you know, really pick up the fight and take it on.
Yeah, you're right. If it borders on a body of water, it's probably the Caspian. It's for some reason in my brain, I was thinking it was way over in the east. Sorry, the west side of Georgia, but it's way over in the east, I think. The northeast?
Well, Georgia is between
the Caspian and the Black Sea.
Yeah, or the devil in the deep blue sea.
Yeah.
It is between Armenia and Turkey in the south, Russia in the north, and Azerbaijan in the, to the southeast of Georgia. South Ossetia is actually landlocked. Abkhazia is on the Black Sea.
Abkhazia, that's right. That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
South Ossetia is in between Georgia and Russia, and it is landlocked. But yeah, if the government of Georgia tries to push things, they could be in a world of hurt.
Well,
because I'm not sure as an American I'd be all that inclined to want to send our troops to go to war with Russia.
No, and honestly, that's not a territory you want to go into because it's very mountainous.
Yeah.
It's not a good area. It's not a good theater of war, let's put it that way, especially if you don't know the area. Staying with geopolitics, let's take a look at the Swiss franc.
Yeah.
Frankly, it's just really changed. It's no longer pinned to the franc.
Huh.
They're not franc anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a surprise move by the Swiss, but some analysts have tied this to what appears to be a pending move by the European Central Bank. And basically the Swiss realized, and I don't understand this high finance, but the Swiss had to get out of the way.
I have a website in front of me. Absolutely everything you need to understand about what happened to the Swiss franc this week. Number one, the Swiss franc is a very popular place to park cash.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number two, that's bad for exports. A strong franc hurts the Swiss because it makes their exports more expensive for foreign buyers, and the country has a giant export sector.
Yes. Nestle.
Number three. Yeah,
Swatch.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
So the central bank put a ceiling on the franc's strength in 2011. Number four. But there was a problem with that because it was creating new francs and using them to buy euros. The Swiss National Bank's currency holdings exploded.
Mm-hmm.
This is hugely important. In the United States, the Fed is buying the safest financial instrument in the world, U.S. government bonds.
Right.
It can hold these bonds until they mature and be virtually assured it will be paid back. The Swiss National Bank, on the other hand, is acquiring a giant pile of currencies that can whipsaw in value, potentially exposing the bank to large losses.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, by the way, I'm going to stop for a second in this explanation and tell you that in the next year or two, we're going to see a lot of banks implode. But isn't that the same thing that the Fed is doing, this psych asks? No, it's different, he says. The Fed is creating money and buying U.S. government bonds. The Swiss National Bank is creating money and buying foreign currency.
Right.
In part, that's because the SNB is specifically targeting exchange rates. But it's also because there's not enough outstanding Swiss debt for the bank to buy. We've got lots of debt. So, the Swiss National Bank's currency bet is huge. The bank's foreign currency holdings have grown to about 75% of the Swiss GDP.
Actually, by the time I read an article today that said by the time they made the decision, it was more like 82%.
So, the Swiss National Bank decided to abandon the ceiling on the franc. That's what it just announced in response to the spring-loaded franc shot higher. The decision caught markets totally off guard because the rationale for the move is very tough to understand. We're all going, what? All the heads in jars in Europe are going,
yeah.
What? After all, the strong franc will still hurt the economy, as the performance of the Swiss stock market this week suggested. And it likely means that Switzerland will slip deeper into deflation. Prices were roughly down 0.3% year over year in December. So all totaled, what does this mean? The clearest takeaway is this, it says. It's all but a done deal that the European Central Bank starts a bond buying program of its own.
Right.
At its January 22nd meeting, the European Central Bank bond buying. By the way, the ECB, the European Central Bank, is a relatively new entity. It's like the Fed, and it was just recently created. They'll be bond buying to add more to the supply of euros, and if demand is constant, that means prices will fall. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. An analyst for Forbes writing, well, today, actually, brand new article, offers the opinion that the ECB, because of its charter, essentially is the most powerful central bank in the world. It is democratically and legally unaccountable, in effect, to its nations, its member nations. And as I try to, again, get my head around this here, the Swiss National Bank had to get out of the way and basically decouple the franc from the euro before the European Central Bank announced its big qualitative easing program, bond buying program, mm-hmm. Because otherwise it would have been crushed. So in order to protect the franc and protect the Swiss economy, so that it didn't get crushed when the ECB started its bond buying, they had to make the move that they did. Now, things, you know, really, you talk about whipsawing currencies. The Swiss franc jumped about 30% in value against the euro almost immediately, mm-hmm. and it finally closed about 19% above the euro when things settled back down again. And, you know, again, I don't really understand how that benefits the Swiss export market because, as you mentioned, a stronger currency means prices in that country relative to, you know, the currencies of foreign nations where people want to buy your exports go up.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So a stronger Swiss franc means that we pay more for Nestle's chocolate, Swatch watches, and, mm-hmm. You know, other things from
But maybe in this world economy, the fear is that there's a lot of competition out there. And we're not selling our stuff as much.
Mm-hmm.
But if I understood it correctly, that first day, these big companies like Nestle and Swatch Watch, their shares went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because of the fear.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, that's the same thing we need to pay attention to here in the United States. We like, you know, we seem to think that a strong U.S. dollar is always a good thing. But in fact, in recent years where the dollar has been struggling somewhat, our exports have been more competitive on world markets. And we've started, you know, balancing our trade deficit a little bit better, getting closer to it. We're mm-hmm. still run a trade deficit annually, but it's not as big as it was when we had a strong dollar all the time. Now, the dollar has been stronger of late because of the weakness of foreign markets. We've seen some resurgence in the U.S. economy here in 2014, but in large part that was being driven by the energy sector. With oil at $100 a barrel, it makes, you know, it's profitable to explore and produce oil in North Dakota and Illinois and Indiana and places where you normally, where we didn't traditionally drill and produce.
Right.
And I had read that 40% of the job growth in the U.S. since 2009 had been tied to the energy sector. Well, a lot of those jobs are beginning to go away again. People are beginning to be laid off. Caterpillar in Peoria just Thursday announced 200 more layoffs between Peoria and Decatur, areas that are already mm-hmm. hard hit economically.
Well, Target stores are shutting down every one of their stores in Canada.
Yeah, I think that the economy was not as robust as people analysts like to believe, but I think analysts just look at the Dow Jones Industrial Index, and when it goes up, they think things are great.
And they believe everything that comes out of Washington.
Yeah.
The Baltic Dry Index, speaking of the economy, is down to 749 points. It has dropped 63% over the last year.
So,
you want to explain what the BDI is?
The BDI, the Baltic Dry Index, is a an indicator of the cost of shipping raw material, the basic ingredients in industrial output. It can be anything from iron ore to bulk grain, the kinds of things that you find in containers on cargo ships, those big, you know, super sized cargo ships that cross the ocean. And right now it's at a level that was about where it was when the economy tanked in 2008, late 2008.
Yeah.
Now, it typically gets down in this range around the beginning of around the end of a year and beginning of a new year.
This is a drop over 12 months.
Yeah. That was the but that I was coming to. So you,
however, Head and Jar says,
yeah, we shall see if it increases, because it's a leading indicator of industrial. It can be a leading indicator of industrial activity. The industry that I'm most familiar with, which is the steel industry, metals industry, mm-hmm. we are seeing normally this time of year, prices go up. Mills in the United States, and surprise to me when I first got into this business 7 years ago, that the United States actually does make a lot of steel. I mean, I assumed coming in because of the steel pipe business I was in previously, a lot of it is imported. The domestic steel industry really is quite strong. The beams, the plate that we use to build our buildings and ships and so forth, is produced right here in the U.S. And it's very green, too, by the way. About 95% of the stuff that goes into a new steel beam is crushed up cars, refrigerators, and washing machines.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shellacked breadsticks.
Well, that's the stuff from China. And I'm only partly joking about that. Yeah. San Francisco Bay Bridge, not going there. Fabricated in China. Anyway, finishing my point. Normally, this time of year, we see mills raising prices because distributors are starting to reload inventory. Typically, distributors have a slow period in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we let inventories deplete because a lot of distributors will use that period to conduct physical inventory. You don't want to count stuff if you don't have to. January comes, you start reloading inventory. Mills raise prices to take advantage of it. That's not happening. Prices are actually decreasing. And so not necessarily a good sign.
And don't forget that in December, the outside sales guys have to deliver presents.
Yeah,
pulled by their reindeer dachshund.
Yes. Yeah.
No, what I was going to say is that a lot of the building that's been going on is done. China and its ghost cities that it was building supposedly to keep up the employment and to keep the economy afloat.
Yeah.
Well, China's done.
Nobody wants to be the guy to report to the central planning office that your province is not meeting targets for employment.
Of course. When the gigantic asteroid that is heading toward the United States. Oh, sorry. It was supposed to hit a couple of days ago. I was looking at a certain forum and probably many of you have probably been to forums like this, someone calling herself Vanessa Sweetcorn, saying that she worked for NASA, capital N, lowercase ASA.
Yeah, a Brit.
That's how the Brits spell NASA. We, of course, capitalize all the letters because it's an acronym.
And it's American.
Exactly.
We use all caps.
We shout all the time.
That's right.
Anyway, she was saying that she was very disturbed because they'd been trying to stop it. They'd been trying to find out more information. And sure enough, it was going to hit within 30 hours. She posted this about 5 days ago.
Yeah.
So I think it's not hit yet.
We're still here.
So the tomato plants are fine. Well, actually, they're not. They're frozen.
Yeah.
You should have brought them in long ago.
Yes. Just like our Boston ferns.
No, yeah. I know. Well, you know, here we are. We're moving to Crane in about 5.5 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that. And honestly, we can't take the plants with us. And I had these two gorgeous Boston ferns that I had brought inside at the conclusion of the growing season outside. And Boston ferns, if you've ever grown them outside and then brought them inside, they're fine as far as the way they look, but they constantly shed little bitty leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So constantly there were all of these little bitty leaves underneath of these. Finally, I said, look, we can't transport the plants anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Take your chances, boys.
Put them outside and freeze them. Yeah.
I did. Yeah. So they're gone.
Well, let's see. Where do we want to go here? Got a few things yet. Thailand's Three Genders, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven.
Well, I'd say Thailand. Let's go there because that's a story that is going to be sadly played out everywhere, including here in the United States.
Yes,
and of course, the Supreme Court is going to be taking a look at whether or not gay marriage should be a national issue.
Right. It's currently legal in 36 states, but there have been some court rulings that have upheld marriage restrictions in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee.
Exactly.
And so the Supreme Court has decided it's going to take it up. And, you know, this is just more of the assault on God's creation. Male and female created he them.
It is. I agree with that. But at the very least, even if you're not a believer, if you have no desire to get into the debate on gay marriage, it's a states' rights issue.
Exactly right. Yes.
And the states' rights are just crumbling away in the United States. You know, the whole thing with the Affordable Care Act and being told you have to put up an exchange. Well, some of the states have just said no.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your money. We're not going to do anything. Eventually, that's going to be decided again, even though the Supreme Court has weighed in already. I'm sure that they will weigh in again because I suspect that this year we'll see lots and lots of lawsuits.
Yeah.
We are losing our rights here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And as our individual rights go away, the states' rights are also going away.
Exactly. So I would just say this to our progressive friends.
Mm-hmm.
While this particular issue, you may find you agreeing with a ruling to extend government sanction for homosexual marriage to all 57 states, according to President Obama, 50 states, you may not agree with the precedent that sets for the federal government to say, no, all states have to do what we say if and when there comes a conservative.
Because the next one may be all states have to employ euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
If someone chooses to die, they get to.
Yeah, and we can talk about that in a second. Just one other thing here about Thailand and its Third Gender. It's writing a new constitution. The constitutional drafting panel said on Thursday that Thai society has advanced. So now it is advanced, it is enlightened, it is tolerant and progressive to think that there are male, female, and whatever.
There will be male, female, and whatever prostitutes on the streets of Thailand
there
now? Because
already are. That's a big reason why Thailand is taking this step. Thailand is the capital of sex tourism in the
United. I know. Yeah. That's why I asked the question.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there are some who went so – and we don't necessarily ascribe to this, but there are some who say that there's part of the reason why that massive tsunami hit because that part of Thailand, the west coast of Thailand, was also affected by the Indonesia tsunami several years ago.
Well, and whether or not that's the reason for that.
No, I don't subscribe to that, but I'm just saying that that is where – you remember a few years back that guy who came out of nowhere and said, I'm the one who killed
– Yes, I was thinking about that very thing.
And what was the young girl's name from Boulder, Colorado?
Someone in the PID radio chat's going, it's Ramsey. It's JonBenet Ramsey.
JonBenet Ramsey, right.
I thought of that on my own.
Yeah. So, and this fellow was living in Thailand. And I just getting a look at the guy's picture, like, okay,
yeah.
Not surprised. So anyway, yeah, it's a dark corner of the world over there. And anyway, this is – but we bring this up because this is coming to the United States. We talked we didn't really talk about this, about the young man in Cincinnati – who stepped out in front of a truck
weeks
ago. And he's being used now as a martyr,
mm-hmm,
in a transgendered cause. And that is going to be the next big social issue, and a human rights issue is the way it's being presented, or civil rights issue.
And it's going to be a parenting issue as well because of the way this is being constructed in the progressive media, that the parents essentially – one commentator even dared to say they pushed him in front of that truck.
Yeah, his parents threw him in front of the truck. And Lynn, you're right. John Carr was the name of the gentleman.
Thank you. Good
there was
memory.
A middle name in there, but I don't – but it doesn't really matter.
They always have middle names when they're like, you know.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. And watch for this because, again, this is just cut part of the ongoing enemy's ongoing assault against the creation as God intended it. And it relates back to the conversation, which first introduced us, by the way, to Patricia Langer, a conversation I had with Gans Shimura about an androgynous antichrist and how the occult realm, certain occult disciplines, believe that the ultimate future of humanity is androgyny, reuniting the male and female halves of our, you know, of our self.
Heads in jars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that we are no longer male nor female, according to, and of course, and that's the way God created us. And that's the way we should be. Sam's quite upset about somebody, probably our neighbor, just got to his mailbox. So while that is going on, and there was someone else. By the way, the activist you mentioned is a fellow named Dan Savage, the one who made that really offensive comment about the parents of the young man who died. He managed to stir up controversy at the University of Chicago last summer.
Uh-huh.
And I found this really amusing because he was there and he was trying to he was in a discussion, leading a discussion about how to reclaim the word tranny and how to for transsexuals and transgenders to reclaim what he called hate words. And a group of students then went to school administration at the University of Chicago and demanded an apology from Dan Savage because they felt offended by the use of the T slur.
Yeah.
The student who led the protest called itself, and it was its chosen pronoun, which it insisted that the reporter for the newspaper use, called itself Hex. So anyway, Dan Savage is finding out that you can't win for losing when you get you go past a certain point. The only sin you can commit anymore is offending somebody.
Yes.
So.
Well, I'm sorry, but I find that offensive.
And because of that, Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts has announced that it is not going to put on, as it had scheduled this year, the play The Vagina Monologues.
Yes.
Because it's offensive to women without vaginas. The school's policy, admission policy, will allow biologically born female identifies as a woman, biologically born female identifies as a man, biologically born female identifies as other, they, or Z, letter Z-E or Z-E, which is apparently the third.
Z?
Yes, apparently that's the third gender. Biologically born female does not identify as either woman or man, such as Hex, apparently. Biologically born male identifies as women. Biologically born male identifies as other, they, Z, and when other, they identity includes woman, or biologically born with both male and female anatomy and identifies as a woman. The formerly all-female college will now accept any or all of the above.
Well, sorry, but male and female created them.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, but that's how that works.
Church, be aware.
You're either XX or XY.
Right.
You're not a Z.
Uh-huh. And this is, like I said, this is the next big civil rights issue, and the church is going to have to contend with this. So,
well, somebody in the chat room asked me about a story that I tweeted earlier today saying that there were two planet-like, you know, planetoids, little bitty planets, that were near Pluto. And the reason for that is because of Pluto's orbit. It's eccentric. It's kind of wobbly. So the assumption is that there's wibbly-wobbly stuff up there with it. We think it's the TARDIS. We think it's probably two of the doctors that are up there, and it's throwing everything off.
Well, that could be.
Or it could be they're on the moon, because people live on the moon.
Well, yeah, the moon, as we learned this week. You know, it's amazing what you can learn by watching home shopping channels.
I know. And I've often told my friend Natalina, if she needs to buy a new laptop or something like that, to go to QVC or HSN. So she went to QVC, and she saw the most extraordinary presentation. And we can't show it to you, but we can play the audio from it.
It almost kind of looks like what the Earth looks like when you're a bazillion miles away from the planet Moon.
Yes, I just squinted at it.
From the Moon, looking back at the
Earth. From the planet Moon.
Isn't the Moon a star?
The Moon is a planet, darling.
The Sun is a star. Is the Moon really a planet?
The Moon is a planet,
honey. Don't look at me like that. The Sun is a star.
It's a planet.
Is the Sun not a star?
I don't know what the Sun is.
The Sun is a star, isn't it?
We don't know what the Sun is.
The Sun is a star. The Moon is not
a planet.
I knew it. I knew it.
Excuse
you were trying
me?
To take me down that road.
But wait,
the moon is not a planet.
Me, Chunky, if you're listening to
this
me, you have
Rosebud.
To Google the moon.
Someone,
okay?
I can guarantee you someone's Googling right now.
The moon
I
is
knew
such
it was
a,
not
planet.
A planet.
I can't
the
even stand it.
The moon is not a planet.
What else is it if it's not a planet?
It is not. I believe it's a star or something.
It's
it is
a
not a
moon. It's a
didn't
moon.
Didn't you do that thing in grade school where you
it's
had to name the planets and there was Uranus and there was Saturn and the one with the rings and and then the Earth and the moon is never in there, dude. It's not a planet. All right, here, look, this is Key Lime.
I don't know.
I feel
know
like
what
sometimes,
it is besides,
though,
what is it,
I am educated. I exposed during the
cheese?
Show.
Come on, it's a planet.
That this blonde of mine could be real.
Okay.
The moon is what?
A natural satellite.
The moon is a natural satellite.
But things live on it. That means it's a planet.
Is that what Google said?
I don't know what
No, I don't like that at all. I don't even know what that means. I do. I use Google all the time. I feel bad. I feel bad for Yahoo because they're really good too. I just don't use them.
Wow.
Okay, listen. 1,500 of these hot picks ordered. Oh, the poor audience.
Oh, the poor audience indeed. It is such a planet.
Things live on it. It must be a planet.
It's not in there, dude. There are so many classic lines in that. And, you know, we don't talk about this much, but, you know, there but for the grace of God go I.
Yes, that's true.
Because back in 1986, when I was working in radio in Philadelphia and looking for something else to do, because I had basically been told, just come in and do your air shift and don't do anything else at the radio station. We really don't need you to do anything else. I guess this would have been 87. I was looking for something else to do during the day. I was going nuts. And so I found a listing for an audition for a new cable television channel. And I went down there and they said, well, you know, this is a new concept we're going to be rolling out here. This is going to be a shopping channel. People watch on TV. They can call in. They can buy stuff. And we got this. It showed me this big warehouse full of stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, what? So they had me go into a room and they gave me an old style Bell telephone. You know, it was one of those little, you know, plastic things, weighs about, you know, the handset weighs 2 pounds. And I would, you know, it was a lark. I didn't care whether I got it or not. I was just there for something to do. And so I was just goofy and they liked it and they offered me a job. I could have been one of the original hosts on QVC and I turned it down because I said, can I keep my radio job? And they said, well, no. And since the pay was equal, you know, they were offering me what I was making at the radio station. I was like, oh, no, I'm a radio guy. I'll stay in radio. So I could have been on air talking about what, and I would at least have known that the moon is a natural satellite.
And I'd have been sitting there in front of my television going, he's so smart and he's cute. Can I just buy him?
You know, but this was
on FlexPay.
And the flex pay is a sideways 8 for the rest of eternity, sweetheart. But, you know, interestingly, there have been some connected to the UFO flap. There have been some rather intense searches for other satellites in Earth's orbit. We go back 60 years to the mid-1950s, 1953, 1954, a couple of prominent astronomers. And in fact, there's a Pluto connection to this, too, because one of the guys tasked by the U.S. government with looking for satellites that radar had detected in orbit above the equator, 400 miles up and 600 miles up. And one of them, they said, was roughly about 1/6 the mass of the moon.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was like a planetoid. And they got Lincoln La Paz of the University of New Mexico and Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto, to look for it. And at first they said, well, yeah, we're searching for these satellites. And then later they denied it. And it was a big flap because, you know, said, yes, we're looking for it. And then it's like, no. And then the military's looking for it. And then they said they were looking for natural satellites that could be used as a stepping stone to get to the moon or perhaps to other stars or perhaps as launching pads for, you know, intercontinental ballistic missiles. But La Paz and Tombaugh, you know, first they said, yeah, we're part of it. Now then they denied it. And you can find a lot of this information on UFO websites, but it was a big deal. But apparently, and this is the thing that's really intriguing, Mike Heiser included this information in his novel, The Facade. And when I read this stuff, knowing that Mike had said up front that all of the UFO references made in the book are fully documented with evidence to back them up. And according to the information in Mike's book, and I've not been able to document it online, but as a longtime ufologist himself, Mike has dug deeper into the evidence than I have. Apparently, those satellites that had been picked up on radar by the Air Force left orbit.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Left orbit?
And the claim was made when they were first discovered and announced. And the stories were published, and I've got some links here that in New York Times, LA Times, Time Magazine, Aviation Weekly, they all had articles about this back in 1953, 1954.
Well, that's,
they claimed that these were natural satellites that had just recently been captured in Earth's orbit, which ain't possible.
No. I was looking to see exactly when L. Ron Hubbard passed away. It was in 86, so it's much too late for that to have been one of his spaceships to pick him up.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, just this whole thing with Isaac Mizrahi and the host on QVC just kind of triggered that whole memory about these artificial satellites in orbit that then flew off on their own, apparently. And the were they radar glitches? We don't know for sure.
By the way, a whole bunch of Project Blue Book, redacted, of course, a whole bunch of that those documents have now been released into the public domain, and they are available at the Black Archive, the Black Vault. I mean,
oh yes.
Yeah.
That young man, John Grenwald, who runs the Black Vault, has done a really, really
good job.
You
should have him on and talk to him about all the things he's got in there. It's an amazing website, and you can go through and look at the scans of all of these reports.
Yeah. Bear in mind that when it comes to the UFO phenomenon, we don't believe, we just want to make clear once again that these craft are intergalactic, interstellar.
Probably. Yes, I think that's the best way to explain them. I don't for a minute believe that there are alien creatures from other planets or other galaxies that have been checking us out.
Yeah.
I don't believe in panspermia. I believe in God creation. But I do think that we as Christians need to look at these phenomena and figure out a way to explain them to people who are both new believers and unbelievers,
right,
so that the truth can get out there.
Right. The UFO phenomenon is real. It's just not what the UFO true believers think it is. It's not interstellar. It is interdimensional.
Yeah. And in some cases, it's propaganda.
Yes. So that, and the government, U.S. government, has been known to use that.
Well, in fact, didn't the CIA just recently come out and say, oh, yeah, in the 50s, 60s, that was us.
Yeah, but most people who are looking at that said, nah, we don't think so.
Yeah.
And they put out some weird things on their Twitter feed at the CIA. So anyway.
So the best thing you can do is buy the National Enquirer and
Weekly World News.
Yep. Keep up the finest reporting on the planet.
That's right. Hey, we haven't asked this very often, but we should, because those guys at Canary Cry Radio are getting lots of reviews.
Hey!
They're getting ahead of us here. So if you haven't yet and you subscribe to PID Radio through iTunes, which you can do by clicking the link at PIDradio.com, if you could just take a moment and leave a review at iTunes, we sure would appreciate that. And you could also do the same at Stitcher if you're so inclined. Be honest, but always remember the biblical command to be gentle and respectful. Gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect.
Always. Well, you know, those of the you who are listening from the moon.
Yeah. all of our planetary neighbors there living on the moon.
Thank you for, you know, listening to us and being kind and gentle and respectful.
Now you Martians, we don't make it.
No,
X-73 space modulator. I can't remember. What is it? The space modulator?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good voice.
Well, I can do Marvin. I just haven't practiced it.
Marvin Mind Power?
that's a whole different planet.
A whole different movie.
We're not going there. The interview tonight, by the way, on A View from the Bunker is Carl Tykrib, who has put together a very helpful calendar of all of the globalist events in 2015. And in the span of an hour, we'll give you kind of an overview of the big events coming up in the next year. In fact, the first one that's on the calendar is the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not Davros.
No. No, that's Doctor Who. That's his arch-enemy.
He says,
he's
detonate,
the one that created.
Detonate the reality bomb.
Exactly.
That's Davros.
He starts out your podcast.
Exactly. But no, the World Economic Forum, and then goes all the way through to the end of the year. And as you go through this calendar, which you can find by subscribing to Forcing Change, his magazine at forcingchange.org, a lot of stuff on the green agenda this year for climate change, a lot of stuff with interfaith get-togethers trying to say, you know, hey, we're all following the same path.
Climate change is all about control. It's about taking over.
Transhumanism and occult transformational festivals like Burning Man, just all over this calendar for the coming year.
And don't forget, tomorrow morning we have the Gilbert House Fellowship at 10:30 a.m. We hope you can join us live in the chat room. And, we are going to be still in Genesis 19.
Yeah, we pick up with the story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, the departure of Hagar and Ishmael, and the sojourn in the region of the Philistines, where Abraham lies again about who Sarah is.
You just can't learn, can you?
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening.
PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out.